Welcome back, Greenies. You are back for another episode of Fear of the Wavecast. This, of course, is episode 2 of season 2, and it's going to be a good one because today, to me, is the official start of our college football season because today is the opening of camp. And what I'm really excited for is that Fear the Wave had their football correspondent there. I am joined in the podcast today by Mr. Yanni Meza, who is in Yeoman to watch what was going on. Yanni, first Fear the Wavecast for you, right?
Yes, sir.
And tell folks, because you've been working with us for a while, how long have you been on the Tulane beat? Talk us through that so people know who you are.
Well, I started actually before I even took my first class at Tulane in August of 2016. So I've been on since Fritz's first year, and it's been great to see the progression of the team since then, and I'm really excited for this season.
So you were there for practice today, and you interviewed the players. We're going to talk about your player interviews too, but let's start with the big question. You know, it's the first day of camp. Guys are still kind of fitting into what's going to be happening for the next few weeks. What was your overall impression? Because like you said, this isn't your first rodeo. How do you compare the atmosphere to maybe what we've seen in the last couple of years?
Well, the thing is that's different, I would say. You know, Fritz is always going to be that high-intensity guy, you know, win-at-all-cost mentality, and that certainly hasn't changed. But I think the spiel from him and from the other players has changed, whereas before it was really building up the program, you know, building up expectations to now, you know, what they would see as the future back then. It's the present now. And, you know, guys in the interviews that we'll hear later, they're talking about they came to Tulane because of the offense, which was a problem when Fritz first got here. Or, you know, they came here because they see Tulane as a rising program. So to see that, you know, from year one to now year three, I think that's by far the biggest difference is that there's expectation now to make that bowl game.
Did anything surprise you that you saw today, maybe from a personnel standpoint? What jumped out at you while you were at practice?
Ah, man, if I had to be honest, I think practice there, it's the most choreographed chaos you'll ever see in your life because everyone's moving, it's high intensity, 100 miles per hour every single snap, but everyone knows their assignment. You know, the players are very disciplined. You know, usually I played in high school, and, you know, sometimes you're on the sideline, you fall asleep, you know, trying to, get ready for the next play, the next rotation, but that did not happen today. You know, everyone was on top of their game, all the coaches, you know, together, all the players together, and I think that's very telling to the work that this coaching staff has done with these players.
All right, I'm going to play some audio here. Fritz talked about the first day of camp and getting the freshmen settled into that chaos and getting how the organization's going to work. So let me play that here.
Well, you know, it's always fun to get out here and get going. And, I usually have a tape recorder during practice. I probably got about 50 notes of things we need to get better at. And most of it's going to be the freshmen. New guys haven't been through a practice because you're able to do some things in the summer, but you can't have a football out there. You can't do, all the things you'd like to do. But, we'll learn. By and large, I thought there was a lot of carryover from spring football to fall camp.
All right, and Yanni, another theme that I think a lot of people are looking at in this camp is the introduction of some new high-profile transfers. Did you see anything today looking at guys like Corey Dauphine or Freddie Canteen, Noah Fisher on the offensive line? What were you seeing out there?
If I had to pick one standout from those three that you mentioned, it had to be Freddie Canteen. The guys that, you know, on the wide receiving core that we usually think about are obviously Teron Onkelad and Darnell Mooney, who has come up as our second wide receiver. But Freddie Canteen was really out there making plays. You know, he's really quick off the line, can really blow by, I think, anyone on this scheme on the defensive side. I saw him make like three catches down the field, like over 20 yards. So I'm expecting a good amount of work for him this season. He looks like he's good. Noah Fisher, too. He said in his interview that he's settling in great. You know, he said, I think he said verbatim, you know, football is football. And so he looks like he's getting along great, too. So the transfers are, they seem to be really working out great so far.
So I'm going to play a clip here from Freddie Canteen. And I actually have another one here that you took from Jonathan Banks. you know, he really sees Freddie Kantine settling in as a vertical threat, which I think is going to be a big win for the offense. Let me play those.
You know, with it just being day one, I could talk about a lot of the offseason. They was able to just come in and just work out hard, you know, do some of the extra work, get in the film room extra. You know, they both some good guys, Freddie Kantine, and, you know, he's you seen what he could do, showcase vertical threat. So it's always good when you got a vertical threat on the field.
All right, and Yanni, you know, we talked about Noah Fisher. He was a transfer from South Alabama. A lot of the preseason magazines, because he was still at South Alabama, had him as an all Sun Belt first team type of player. We know that he brings a lot to the table. Overall, what did you see out of the offensive line today? I know it's day one. I don't want to read too much into that, but did you feel like the depth was a big advantage? What were you seeing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in past years, I remember the first media day that I went to 2 years ago. I remember Fritz talking about, you know, tryouts and how you know, we only had 96 or 97 guys on the team. Whereas today, I think he said we're bordering on 110, and he said that the depth that he has at the offensive line is you know, it's the deepest that it's been since he got here. He told me he said in his interview that when we played UConn at UConn 2 years ago, that he only six O linemen traveled, and only five were really healthy. So if one of them had gone down, we would have really been in a tough situation there. So today, to see that rotation amongst the O line, and honestly, it was kind of seamless between, you know, group to group. You know, they seem really disciplined. They need a little bit more quickness coming off the ball. But, you know, because an offense that requires so much movement up front, you have to be really quick coming off the snap. But, you know, that could also be attributed to, you know, day one of fall camp is still getting into the mix and everything. But you know what? So far, they look like they've made some real progress.
I think another question that we're looking at on offense, obviously at the QB1 role, you know, Jonathan Banks is well ingrained there. We're excited to see what kind of season he's going to have. But there were a couple of transfers in the offseason, and now there's a question around who's that number two going to be. Did you get a sense from talking to Coach Fritz and watching practice today whether maybe Christian Daniels or Dane Ledford is leading into that position, or how does that battle look so far?
As of right now, it looks like it's wide open. They were both taking second team reps. It seemed pretty equal between them. They were both making good plays out there. If I had to predict from now, you know, obviously this could be completely off the mark, you know, by day 30 or whatever of fall camp. But if I had to predict right now, I think Christian Daniels is going to be our QB2 going into this season. He just has a little bit more of that upside that you're looking for. You know, he's a little bit closer to Banks and that quarterbacking ability, not just, you know, throwing the ball, but, you know, on his feet too. He's a little bit more athletic, and That's who I think is going to get it. But as of right now, it is completely wide open. And Fritz spoke about, you know, the importance of that, because when you do have a quarterback like Banks who does like to improvise a lot, you know, one hit, he's down, and you got to look to your QB2 to, you know, make that seamless transition.
Yeah, we have a clip here from Fritz on how he's approaching that QB competition to figure out the depth chart. So let's play that here, and we'll see what Coach Fritz has to say.
Really important. You know, it's going to be one of the question marks we have. We're going to put those guys in some pressure situations. And it really is down to a two-man competition between, Dane Ledford and Christian Daniels. Those two guys are, you know, going to determine here in the next, you know, 10 to 15 practices who's going to be number two. And then you really can only work two guys.
All right, and Yanni, another thing, obviously we've talked about the introduction of Freddie Kantine. We've talked about the offensive line. Who else stood out to you on offense? Did you see much from the running backs today or have a chance to catch up with them?
The running backs, it's other than Dauphine and Bradwell, which I think those are the top two guys. I was actually surprised at the amount of first team reps that Darius Bradwell was taking. Considering it's only his second year at the running back position, but he really does look pretty good back there. But other than that, they're really rotating them a lot. And Fritz also said that the running back position is also another one that's the deepest that stable of running backs that he's had since he's been here. And so, you know, I saw Devin Glenn taking reps. I saw Stephon Hutterson taking reps. I saw Amari Jones taking reps. So that, you know, that rotation's still wide open. I can't even predict, you know, what the reps are going to look like going forward, because it is still so wide open. And each one of those guys offers, you know, a little bit of a different skill set. And, you know, I even saw Wildcat packages today with Bradwell back there, you know, in the shotgun taking the snap from the Wildcat. So, but I imagine that Fritz had something up his sleeve where Devin Glenn's taking the snap, you know. So I have no idea with that. It's that'll have to come later in fall camp as a little bit more of a clearer picture.
That kid is really fast. Talking about Devin Glenn, I think, you know, we were doing our list. Yanni and I were working together on the list of, you know, some players to watch for this year. We know that Devin Glenn has tremendous speed. You know, he has throughout his career, and I think if he can really handle the ball well and find his role in this offense, he can definitely do some damage. You know, another guy that you mentioned, Yanni, I think Stephen Hutterson, you know, looking back at his high school career, he's a guy who probably, if he were a couple inches taller, was going to be looking at some SEC offers. He's a really talented back. He's a shifty guy. He has a lot of speed. I feel like he's really versatile. So I'm excited. I think, you know, looking at the preseason list this year, you know, we a lot of them, I think, have noted the development of Banks. There's been some good stories around Tulane players. And all of this is just opinion as we get into the season. But I think it's interesting to look at. I think the stable of running backs is one that a lot of people are sleeping on. And if this season goes the way that I think it's going to, a lot of these running backs, especially with Bradwell and Dauphine, maybe as the two lead backs in the system, I mean, this is where Fritz's offense takes control. You know, when you get the passing game going, it opens up the running game. Very excited about what we're seeing in the ground game and the potential there, Yanni.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I think that's what Fritz preaches, is, you know, versatility, not being one-dimensional. And that's exactly what you get from this running back group. Like you said, Devin Glenn, he is really, really fast. And he's either him or Dauphin, you know, they're the two fastest players on the team. But you know what? If you need someone, you know, in a game like Army, where you need someone to just run downhill, you put in Darius Bradwell and you let him bang in between the holes there and, you know, run over a linebacker for a couple yards. You need someone to pull off a big play, you hand it off to Dauphin or Glenn. So, and like you said, Hutterson, I like him a lot too. You saw it towards the end of last year, was getting a little bit, you know, more and more touches per game. So there's a lot to expect from this group this year.
I think we're really good at running back. I'll be surprised if we're not as good as what we were last season at the running back position. You know, the addition of Dauphine and Cam Carroll, I think, is going to be a really good back. He ran 4.4 the other day and raised 2.28. It looks like he's a senior in college. He's an incoming freshman. Amari Jones, I think he's got a tremendous change of direction. And, you know, combine those guys with, you know, Bradwell has played a lot of football for us, Stephon Hutterson, and also Devin Glenn. I think we got a lot of depth there and a lot of talent.
What did you think? I know you were talking to Jonathan Banks after, you know, he really closed on a strong run last season, and it ended in a heartbreak at the SMU game, but I think there's a lot that he can hang his hat on, especially as he got healthier and the passing game started to take off. How did you see his confidence level, you know, when you were kind of watching him and talking to him after as he approaches camp this season?
Well, one thing that I truly admire about Jonathan Banks is his level-headedness. You know, you rarely ever see him, you know, get really angry at himself or, you know, like start throwing his helmet, something crazy like that. You see him really keep his cool. And, you know, recovering from a game like SMU where, you know, what happened, you know, I don't really want to revisit that. I don't think anyone on the team really wants to revisit that. Recovering from something like that is really difficult. And it seems like, you know, he's implemented that, you know, what they call the 24-hour rule. You know, you dwell on it for a little bit and then you forget it. And he's really set his eyes for, you know, towards the season. He seems just as confident when he came in. And he really, you know, embodies his motto, you know, all gas, no brakes. He does look more comfortable out there. He does look better throwing the ball. He's got a little bit more zip on it. It's a little bit more accurate than it was at the beginning of last year. And I think we can expect to see some improvement from him this year, which is great because he was great last year. So for him to take that next step, you know, can take this team to that next step as well.
So obviously we've hit a lot of the playmakers on offense. I think maybe where some of the questions are this year is going to be on the defensive side. What did you take away? Let's start with the defensive backs, because I know you caught up with Rod Teamer, and both in talking to Rod and watching. What was your initial observation about where some of the competition for positions looks like, you know, going into day one at the start of camp?
Well, I asked Rod. I told him, well, it looks like Donnie Lewis is our CB1 this year, and then I asked him about who was going to be that second cornerback, and what he told me was that these young guys in the secondary are so talented that he isn't even taking his position for granted, that he's always looking over his shoulder, you know, to make sure that these guys aren't going to come and nip him in the butt to get that starting spot. And so, you know, the two young guys that stand out to me are Jalen Monroe and Willie Langham. Langham made a pick today in practice, covering, I think he was covering Valiant. I'm not sure who he was covering, but it was a great play. You know, sometimes they do get caught, you know, looking at the quarterback, getting, you know, moved around by his eyes. But you know what? They've got a lot of talent. They are ball hawks. And it's going to be a fight also. That the secondary is going to be a fight for all of fall camp. And that, you know, that can only serve to make this team better, because that competitive nature, you know, breeds improvement. So, you know, like I said, Monroe and Langham, two names to watch in the secondary for this fall camp.
So another question that I think, you know, Tulane needs to answer both in camp and as we get into the early games this season is how things are going to shake out up front. Linebacker is definitely an area of interest. Did you have a chance to talk to Coach Fritz, and what were you hearing?
From Coach Fritz, you know, it was not much. You know, that's also another position that's wide open. From what it looked like with the reps, it looked like Lawrence Graham was getting the majority of the first team reps. But I wouldn't count out Moody. You know, he's a very solid linebacker, but I think they see a little bit more of an upside with Lawrence Graham. But that'll certainly be something to watch for the rest of fall camp.
Moody would be interesting. If my memory serves, he was a late addition in the signing class a year or two ago. Staff was really high on him, so that definitely, if he can get, you know, get in the action early in his career, that's going to be a win. But Graham, I think, is a name for us to watch there. Now, up front, looking at the defensive line, do you see any? I think one thing a lot of Tulane fans are excited for is Jeffrey Johnson, right? You know, freshman, he's expected to start this year. Came with a lot of high P6 offers, if you will. And, you know, he got in the spring and got his process started. Did you have a chance to watch him play today?
Yeah, he was they were actually that nose tackle position, you know, that was being rotated a lot. You know, Jeffrey Johnson got a couple snaps in, and, you know, they were just moving around guys. I think what they're doing, personally, I think that Jeffrey Johnson is the guy, you know, moving forward. I think definitely by game five, game six, you'll start to see him impose his will in that position. But I think that they kind of want to start the season with someone a little bit more experienced. But I definitely do think that Jeffrey Johnson is the most talented nose tackle, if not defensive lineman, that is on this team already as a freshman, which is really telling to the type of guy that we have. At the spring game, he was phenomenal. He plugged up every single hole that he saw. He was everywhere on the field, put lots of pressure on the quarterback. And, you know, right then and there, I realized why he had offers from, I think it was Alabama, LSU, Mississippi State. You know, that's why he had those offers. And the fact that he chose to come here, it's fantastic. And you'll definitely see him impose his will by the mid part of the season. But I think for right now, they're sort of trying to ease him in, you know, not put too much pressure on him.
Yanni, man, you killed it today. Really appreciate you going out and getting those insights and also coming on the podcast and breaking it down. We got to do this again sometime. But before I let you go, you got a good conversation with Jonathan Banks about Last Chance U. Have you watched it yet?
I did. I actually finished it last night at 2 a.m. So that's why it was on my mind. I could not leave that room without asking Jonathan Banks about Coach Brown, because that guy's a character.
You were prepping for the show, man. That's for the interviews today. That's good journalism, if anything. I mean,
I try my best.
One of the things, so Coach Brown on that show, it's funny because obviously, like, America, like the college football watching public, is being exposed to him and his style for the first time, but Coach Brown like followed Fear the Wave on Twitter, like right, I think around probably when Banks signed with us, you know, or whatever. So I followed him back. So it's interesting because like Coach Brown, I can remember maybe a year ago seeing a fight on Twitter, like 400. It was like me with the Southern Miss fans last week. He was not willing to give in on the argument. And I'm like, who is this guy? And now I actually kind of see how he operates on a day-to-day basis. So not the most similar coach to Coach Fritz, right?
I think that in terms of intensity, it's a different form of intensity, absolutely, because Coach Brown's a little bit more I don't know what to call it exactly, but it's definitely a different form of intensity. I think Jonathan Bang said that there aren't that many similarities between the two, but in my opinion, at least from what I can see on Netflix, and you know, Banks told me to be wary of what they show you on the show because of, you know, just editing and all these things. You know, he's like, oh, he's not a bad guy, this, that, which I believe him. You know, Coach Brown doesn't look like a bad guy, but he definitely does get a little carried away. Whereas I think Fritz definitely has that. You know, he keeps himself on a tighter leash, but you know, I'm sure that the transition to Coach Fritz, who has his voice on a microphone yelling, get tired. I'm sure that transition wasn't too hard for him from Independence with having Coach Brown screaming profanities at him, you know, every 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because this might be interesting to folks. If you've never been to a Tulane practice before and your familiarity with Coach Fritz might be in interviews after games or when he comes in and does talks, Coach Fritz is like, he's like one of the most stable football coaches I feel like I've ever met. He's just like a very calm, thoughtful guy when you talk to him. Yanni, would you agree with that?
100%, absolutely. Okay.
So that's Coach Fritz, you know, kind of outside of off the field, if you will. Tell people what is a Tulane practice like from an intensity level? What was your experience watching the team today and the other times you've been there?
That if I take away one thing, it's that, you know, they don't let you fall asleep, which I think is very important because you are limited at the college level on practice time and you know, all these things that you can do. You know, getting the most out of every single rep, every single practice, you know, every single film session, that is super important at this level. And I think that Coach Fritz makes sure that you do get the most out of it. You know, having his voice over the intercom, you know, having the position, you know, the position coaches are very involved too. And I think Coach Fritz encourages that for them to, you know, be on top of the players, not let them, you know, daydream. Because honestly, in a football practice, if you're not, you know, a first teamer, or if it's not your group that's, you know, in practicing at that moment, it's so easy just to go on the sideline and just to start daydreaming and thinking about God knows what. But this group of coaches does not let you do that. And I think that's why we've seen such improvement from year one to now year three. It's because these coaches stress improvement and working hard so much.
All right. Well, Yanni, thanks for coming on your first Fear the Wavecast. We got to have you back like a bunch of more times, man.
Oh, man, I'd love to. You know, I love talking the head off. You know, I love this.
All right. Well, on that, let's close the show. I'm going to jump to the clip of Yanni talking to Jonathan Banks about Independence Community College in Independence, Kansas, and how it compares to Tulane. Let's do it.
So you came from Independence. I just finished Last Chance U last night. A lot of our readers enjoy the show. Do you see any similarities between Coach JB and Coach Fritz?
Probably not. They both got a good motor, though. Coach Brown, he's not as bad as he look on Netflix. He's a good dude. He's just serious about winning. And he's a California cat. A lot of them California cats, they got a mop on them. So, but, you know, Coach Brown, he's a good dude. He calls me from time to time. We have conversations. And, you know, I always never forget the moment he gave me my second opportunity to come and play football again.
All right. Thank you, John.